Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon, or reach us through restaurantguysradio.com.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm aces.
I'm troubled.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to revisit an issue. I guess I am. I want to revisit an issue that we did talk about briefly and all too briefly.
Yeah, we really didn't get enough time to beat on this one.
To beat
this dead horse, as it were.
There was an article in the Washington Post, a scary, scary article, and we got a bunch of emails about this. And so here we are reiterating what's going on. They are experimenting with University of Maryland doctoral student Jason Matheny and his colleagues have identified two techniques for creating products that taste like beef, chicken, and pork and fish with all the nutrients and texture of meat. Sounds good, right?
No.
Well, except that how they create this is the process involves growing animal muscle and fat cells on thin membranes stretched over large flat sheets, then removing the meat-like material and stacking it together to create a thicker, quote-unquote, cut of meat.
Do you know what I have a vision of?
What?
Like that mouse with the ear growing off its back.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
But they're growing meat cells.
They want us to eat it. That's
and then they want us to eat it.
Let's not eat it.
Yeah, you know what?
Who's with me? Who's with me?
Oh,
let's not eat it.
Lord. Okay, check this out, though.
I mean, this is going in fast food. Sooner or later, this stuff is going to end up in your fast food.
It's called cultured meat production. Isn't that crazy? And it's not a reality now, but researchers have concluded that because animal cells can be endlessly multiplied in a lab dish, it's entirely possible. The other method used to make it involves growing the cells on small three-dimensional beads that stretch as the temperature changes and harvesting those to then make processed meat similar to nuggets or burgers.
Now, could vegetarians eat this?
God.
I don't
Interesting
know.
Philosophical
could,
question.
Could you eat this if you're a vegetarian?
Interesting philosophical question.
Imagine that.
You'd be a gross vegetarian. Is it vegan? So check this out. The challenge is getting this. Now this is the doctoral student. This is where we get a little creepy. The challenge is
this
getting.
This is where we get a little
it
creepy.
It gets worse.
Too late.
The challenge is getting the texture right. Matheny said in a news release, "We have to figure out. Strap in, everybody. If you're driving, you might want to pull over. We have to figure out how to exercise the muscles in the petri dish." Are you kidding me?
I know how to exercise the muscles. You bring in a priest, okay, with a big cross and some holy water,
and you
sprinkle it over, and you say, out.
For the right texture, you have to stretch the tissue like a live animal would. They need to exercise it.
Ew.
Stop it. Just stop it. Let's just, I mean, there's enough, you know, and the people, often people say, oh, well, we need, and the big corporate evil agribusiness firms will say, well, we need genetic engineering or we can't feed the planet. Yeah. America has the potential to grow enough food to feed the world six times over. Those statistics come from World Hunger Year, okay, founded by Harry Chapin. It's not a matter of we need to produce more food. There is food rotting all over America in silos, okay, because we buy it, because we subsidize it. There are farmers who have fields that are fallow because we're paying some farmers to grow corn that we stick in a silo and let rot. We're paying some farmers to make milk that goes into cheese that we give away or throw away. And we're paying other farmers to not grow food. The problem is not there's not enough food. The problem is economics. The problem is supply. And we don't need to be growing muscles in laboratories and exercising them so we can then eat them. That's just not what food's supposed to be.
I don't get it. Is that?
Can you imagine okay, here's what I want you to picture, everybody. You walk into your.
I mean, is that for like the astronauts on Mars so they can have meat? Is that the idea?
I'm okay for it then.
Is that the plan?
Because
that's really the only logical plan I could see for the petri dish
meat. But that you then have to exercise, take it out for a walk, take your petri dish out for a walk, take just a pair of legs out for a walk. You know, no cow, just a pair of legs. But you know, can you imagine you go into the laboratory and you have like. You have the hams, like the legs, hanging from the ceiling, except they're exercising them, you know, by running electricity through them. This is just, we don't need to do this, everybody. Support your local farmer. Eat real food. You don't need flavor sprays. Eat real food. Flavor it with real stuff. Put some garlic in there. Go to a restaurant. Support a local farmer. My goodness.
It's not good.
All right, I'm done. Listen, we have...
A piece of mail we want to
We have a piece of mail we want to deal with. We have our guest later on. We're going to talk about The Meatrix, which is this fabulous animation that's out there about family farming and sustainable agriculture, and this company that's doing really revolutionary stuff. But we're getting mail from all over the world. Please email us. It's restaurantguysradio.com, either Francis at restaurantguysradio.com or Mark at restaurantguysradio.com. We have an email from Todd Johnson who writes, hey, guys, love your podcast. This weekend I caught the Mad – he's from Tulsa, by the way. This week I caught the Mad Cow episode with John Stauber. Scary stuff. Yes. One question I had was about the transmission of the disease to humans. If a human eats an infected piece of meat, what are the chances they'll get the disease? And he goes on to say, basically, should I rethink my diet and stop eating meat? Look, Mark and I still eat meat.
Absolutely. But, I mean, frequently. Probably more frequently than I should, but frequently.
But you know what? Yeah, the problem is we don't know.
We don't know.
And they won't
exactly
test accurately. They test the cows that they know don't have it.
And, you know, and honestly, there are probably not that many mad cows in the United States. There probably are not. But, yes, it's a risk to eat red meat, I believe.
And if you want to eliminate the chances of getting and the way that people got sick who did get Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, which is the human form of mad cow disease, mm-hmm. got it from eating meat. That's
right.
How you get it.
You can get it from the blood supply. You can get it from other places as well.
Well, but the reason that this is a problem, John Stauber is an expert on mad cow disease. We had him on a show, a very disturbing show, a while ago. And one of the things that we talked about was it's not just about meat eaters. And the reason that we need to call to action, and what you can do is you can go to our website and you can find out how to call your congressman, senator, president, city councilman, anyone who listen and say, listen, change it around, because right now it's illegal. The federal government has made it illegal for farmers to test their own meat and to certify whether it's mad cow.
To see whether it has mad cow, which
because they're afraid that it's going to turn up and damage the industry.
You know, it probably will. And do we know that if you have mad cow that you'll automatically get it? No, we don't.
Right. If you eat an infected piece of meat, will you automatically get it?
We don't know. The answer is we don't know.
But we know that some people have.
But we know that some people have gotten it.
And the fact of the matter is the countries in Europe, they test. When you slaughter a cow, mm-hmm. you test that cow for, because you can't test until it's slaughtered because you have to look at the brain. But every cow in Ireland, every cow in mm-hmm. Japan, all tested every time. Well, you know what it adds to the cost of meat, Mark?
About less than 10 cents a pound.
Less than 10 cents a pound. Why aren't we doing this?
Japan is a great example. We no longer import Kobe beef. And if you see somebody have a menu that reads Kobe beef.
Kobe is a very expensive, beautiful Japanese type of beef.
Exactly. If you see a menu that says Kobe beef, and one of the things that's happened in the United States, I'm not really crazy about this trend, is people are writing Kobe beef on their menu. But that's not true Kobe beef. It's American Wagyu, which is the type of cow that we imported from Japan.
And Kobe is a city in Japan where they raise these cows mm-hmm. in a very special way, and it got the reputation of being the most expensive and the most lovely meat and cow meat in the world.
But we no longer import true Kobe beef from Japan, even though all of their beef is tested for mad cow. Yet we do not test all of our meat for mad cow. And the reason that we've given for not importing the Japanese Kobe is that it's not safe.
Right, exactly. They did have a mad cow problem. Mm-hmm. They tested for it, saw where it was, killed those cows, and now they don't have a mad cow problem.
Exactly.
We have a mad cow problem, and we choose to ignore it, and our mad cow problem continues. And listen, even if you don't eat meat, you can get it from an infected person. If we don't stop this, this could get into the human blood supply, and, you know, then it goes into the – and there are lots of drugs that are made from animal protein as well. It's a serious issue. I'm still eating meat.
I'm still eating meat. There are not a lot of cases in the United States. But the fact of the matter is we found two mad cows in the United States.
We're coming back with the creators of The Meatrix, and we'll tell you all about The Meatrix and where to find it online in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
You're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And today, Our guest is Louis Fox, creative director of Free Range Graphics. They are the people behind The Matrix, which is the short animation that you've been able to see on our website, restaurantguysradio.com, since we came to be. It is one of the most entertaining
and scary
short pieces. It's on the internet. It's a short animated feature, and it talks in support of family farms and sustainable agriculture in the face of modern agribusiness. And it really is a very, very powerful and well-received, touted short that has been seen by over 10 million people. Hello, Louis. Thanks for joining us.
Louis, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys very much for having me.
You must be pretty happy with the success of The Matrix and all of your other videos, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But The Matrix in particular, everybody I know has seen this and laughed at it and been scared by it and enjoyed it.
Yeah, we're thrilled with it. We're really happy. It's been definitely one of our most successful pieces, one of the pieces we're most proud of. It was something that we at Free Range wanted to do. We wanted to do a piece about factory farming. Mm-hmm. And we kind of waited, and there wasn't anyone doing anything about that. So when we found a nonprofit organization that was seemed like they had their stuff together and they wanted to do a piece about it, we actually gave it to them.
Really?
Yeah, we did it for free because we wanted to do it so bad, and then it turned out that it was a big popular success as well.
Well, that's great. I know a very important radio show out there that's doing some great stuff.
If you want to do a short for us, it's called I can envision it now, the two superheroes, Mark and Francis, it'd be great. Just so everyone knows what this is, The Matrix is it's sort of a parody of The Matrix, the movie, and it is really, really fabulous. Now, viewed by 10 million people, even in web standard, that's a lot. Did that catch you all by surprise?
It did. It did. We were not expecting that. We do a whole bunch of services and, you know, all kinds of messaging and print and websites. We also do these viral flash animations.
Mm. Could you explain? Could you define
that?
Yeah,
we need to know what a viral flash animation is.
Sure. Well, it's not dangerous. It's just that it gets passed around the internet like a cold.
Yeah, I've gotten it about 15 times.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, is that people get it, and it's a really peer-to-peer form of marketing.
Right. Now, let me just distinguish here. We're not talking about spam. We're not talking about sending unsolicited email out to people who you don't know. We're talking about the fact that this is a great little thing, and if you enjoy it, you might send it to a friend and
right.
say, hey, check this out.
Instead of a stupid joke, somebody sends you this cool little video about sustainable agriculture.
And while it's entertaining, it has a great message. So that's what, you know, I want to just make the distinction that you're not sending out spam to millions of people.
Yeah, it's not spam. It goes out to the initial animation goes out to a list that, you know, is opted in to an organization they belong to. And then from there, they send it to friends. And it's just friends sending to friends because we've combined stupid jokes with important messages. And that seems to work pretty well.
As long as that doesn't become stupid messages, I guess that's all it's really
for. Yeah, we're pretty careful about that.
Now, how do you find – now, you do this for a lot of different organizations. I mean, how do you select what organizations you – or how do your organizations select you, and do you have a criteria for the kind of organizations that you want to work with?
Yeah, we're very careful about picking who we work with. That's one of the things Free Range is founded on. So we're a media and creative agency, and we only work for organizations and companies that we feel are doing something to make the world a better place, helping to educate people, promoting sustainability, we just feel like consumers have a lot of power, and their actions affect everything. And Free Range's mission is really to educate and inspire people, and to enable people to take responsibility for their own actions, their own purchasing choices.
Well, let's talk a little bit about The Matrix. I mean, you attack the chicken industry, the pork industry, and the beef industry in one fell swoop there.
Wide range of
but it's not the very production of these things that are attacked, but it's talking about putting out some truths. And I think the very interesting thing here is that people who want to challenge large corporations, you provide a very valuable service because they have some very, very talented people working on their side to get their message or their anti-message out, whether it's true or not. And to sort of boil the thing down and put it into a fun, snappy graphic
is really very interesting. Is a good way to combat their propagandas at the same time.
Yeah, that's something we have to combat their propaganda with our propaganda. Exactly. But we're only doing things that we feel are true and that are beneficial mm-hmm. to people and animals.
Yeah, obviously you have to be careful what you say. You don't want to go too far and then be accused of the same types of things that they're being accused of.
Now we've got to be able to back up what we do and really stand behind it. We really do stand behind everything, all the messages we help to illustrate. And that's really what we're doing. We're just illustrating messages that we believe need to be seen, making things invisible things visible.
Well, and also to put them in a package that is as much as understandable and powerful as the other side is able to, with a lot of money, put their message in a package that is understandable and powerful as well. Our guest today is Lewis Fox. He's the creative director of Free Range Graphics, which does some of the most exciting shorts on the Internet. They do a lot of stuff about sustainable agriculture and food culture, and we're going to talk more with him about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. And today we're talking with Lewis Fox of Free Range Graphics, the creators of a interesting little video you might have gotten on the Internet called The Meatrix, as well as several others.
Well, you guys have created a number of great videos and animated shorts that are getting passed around on the Internet. There are a number of these shorts about food. You talk about Kraft genetically modifying food and putting genetically modified food out there before it's proven safe.
Yeah, you guys give Philip Morris the real beating.
Yeah, we love them.
Well, now, what prompted the video on genetically modified food and Kraft in particular?
That was a job for Friends of the Earth, an organization that's running several campaigns, and one of them is against genetically modified ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And Kraft was their target that they had selected, being one of the largest producers of packaged foods. And yeah, they said we want to go after Kraft, and we want to do something about letting people know that they're being kind of experimented on. And so we kind of riffed off that idea and came up with the cartoon with the people that are in a mouse maze. You think they're in a house, and then
right.
the camera pulls back, and they're actually in a little kind of mouse maze in a laboratory, and the scientists are kind of just feeding them Kraft food to see what will happen.
Now, who comes up with the actual story ideas? Is that you, or is it a combination?
It's a combination. Sometimes our clients have an idea, but most of the time they kind of just know what they want to say, and they come to us, and then I help write the pieces. My business partner, Jonas Sachs, helps write the pieces, and a couple other people, including Tate Hausman, who's one of our writers.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually do kind of brainstorming session and come up with a bunch of concepts, bounce it off the client, and mm-hmm. Eventually arrive at a script.
Now, are you politically aligned with all of these causes that you're writing about, or do you waver from them on occasion?
No, I'd say we're politically aligned. We only work on things that we really believe in, and so when there's a an actual political candidate that champions them, I'd say we're aligned with whatever party that's trying to further these causes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a talking fish in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 11:30.
Everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. Today we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and reach us through restaurantguysradio.com.
Francis, we own Stage Left Restaurant every day.
No, I slipped. Today we're talking with Lewis Fox, who's the creative director of The Meatrix and a creative director of Free Range Graphics, which has come out with The Meatrix. And several other short animated films that have been seen by millions of people.
Lewis, video that I was alluding to just a moment ago was a video called Save the Chilean Sea Bass. Why did you find that was an important enough topic to do a short on?
again, that was motivated by a client who came to us, and they were National Environmental Trust was running a campaign to try and get people to stop eating Chilean sea bass because they're an endangered fish.
But it tastes good, man.
Yeah, it does. I guess it does taste good. But, we're going to eat them up, and we know it'll taste them ever again.
Right. And that's a bad thing.
I guess so, if you like them. I mean, whether you like them or you don't, you're still a good reason not to eat them.
One of the things I really liked about that video is that you really got out the message, and I think people are really starting to get the message with Chilean sea bass.
Well, and the point of it is, the way these things work is they're funny. I mean, the waiter brings over the Chilean sea bass, and it sort of gets up and starts talking to the guest. I mean, that's kind of amusing.
Don't eat me. I'm too young to eat. Stop. Yeah. I can't even reproduce yet.
Right. I mean, that would convince you, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you right now, it would convince me. Well, one of the things that's interesting is, the fish stands up and makes the case for not eating Chilean sea bass until the pressure comes off the fish stocks of Chilean sea bass, and the waiter is sort of making the points of the giant corporations that are trying to fish it into extinction and tell you to eat it anyway. And there's an argument between the waiter and the fish, but it's funny. It's not heavy-handed. And I think,
it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, we really try and keep these as light as possible. I mean, this inherent heaviness that comes with most of the issues that we do, almost all of them, there's a pretty dark, scary side. Mm. But that just doesn't seem to have been working in the past 30 years to get people to wake up to some of these unpleasant realities and to get them to change their behaviors. So we take a different attack where we try and make them laugh, and we try and get them, we just kind of get their defenses down, and then, they're more willing to hear what we have to say.
Right. What I like about the videos is that I don't feel scolded after listening to them. And, I feel that you're getting your message across, and maybe you're telling people something that they may not really want to hear, but I don't feel scolded for maybe having made a mistake in the past about Chilean sea bass, and it is just the one example that I'm using, or maybe buying Kraft mac and cheese because I didn't know, but now I do, and I think that gives me a lot more opportunity to make more educated choices.
Yeah, I mean, information's infectious, and once you know about something, sometimes you wish you didn't know, but you do. And if it's done in such a way where you're there to laugh, but then you pick up some information along the way, it's done in a very unoffensive way and unpreachy, and it seems to be. Working.
One of the things that I think is very interesting about your company and the graphics that a lot of your company has produced, a lot of people see them. They are very funny. They're very powerful because people who agree and disagree, and that's the thing about a funny short. You might send it to somebody who's not inclined to agree with it just because it's funny. And so it's a way that, and I think this is becoming less and less common in our culture, that the right doesn't talk to the left doesn't talk to the right. The right thinks the left is all crazy, kooky commies, and the left thinks the right is, all, fascist, right? And so we don't talk to each other.
And they're both a little bit correct.
Yeah, exactly. But when you have something humorous like this, it's something that can open a dialogue. And I think an exchange of information like that is really valuable today.
Absolutely.
You know, something your company doesn't shy away from very much, and I think this is very interesting, is attacking specific companies. You attack Kraft for their practices of using genetically modified organisms that have been untested. You attack the Philip Morris company for its very amusing ad, and we'll talk about that specifically. I wish you would talk about that specifically. But is there any reticence at all to attacking specific companies? Do these companies ever come after you?
They haven't yet.
Maybe after this show they'll think of it.
No, I mean, that's part of the tactic of the groups that we work with to run these campaigns is they pick a corporate target who has an identity and a brand, which is worth quite a bit, that they've put millions and millions of dollars into developing a brand identity with their commercials. And then if we go and create kind of an anti-commercial for them, it's something that they have to deal with. It's undoing a huge amount of advertising and PR that they're spending money on, and they have to basically address the issue. Mm-hmm. If they want to sue, they have to really feel they're right.
Right.
And usually, we only pick targets where we're right.
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 And if they sue, it just creates a lot of press around the issue, and they won't sue.
Do you feel that you're causing big business to change the way they do things yet?
Yeah. In small ways, and sometimes larger ways, there are changes, and we feel that we're encouraging. You know, a lot of these groups kind of work with a carrot and a stick method, and we usually end up on kind of the stick side. But you know, we're just asking for a change in policy, which sometimes we get, sometimes we don't. But you know, it's putting those ideas out there. I think there's a value, even if you don't get your specific demands. There's a value in just putting information out there and just educating people as to, which side of this issue do they want to come down on, and just letting them know there is an issue.
And one of the things about it is you put some very simple facts out there that really, you do pick your facts very well. Now, Philip Morris is a company that's fairly easy to attack. I mean, they do sell cigarettes after all. But you put out in your short, Philmo 2000, you take a riff on the Philip Morris company, which recently reported to the Czech Republic in some of its own publicity within the Czech Republic, that smoking cigarettes was good for the Czech government because when Czechs die young, it saves the government money and pensions and health care and housing for all these pensioners in the Czech Republic, so they should encourage smoking in the Czech Republic.
They didn't really say that, did they?
Did they really say that?
They really did.
That is precious.
This is a few years ago now, and they really realized they screwed up, but their greed got the best of them, you know?
And so they're basically telling you, yeah, you should have people smoke. It kills people, but they're mostly old people who are you're getting, you
that's
know,
right.
Pensions
you get all your old people out of the way and move them along. It's, what was that movie where they all got exterminated at 30?
Oh, Logan's Run.
Logan's Run. There you go.
It's kind of similar. They must have seen that film.
But the short that you did, Philmo, which is really terrific, you riff on that, and you put that statement out there in the beginning. I'm sure that you would have been sued to death if that wasn't a true statement by now. And then you go on it and you say, well, if it can save big government money, imagine how much it can save your family.
Yeah, kill off your family. Think how much money you'll save.
You can save $47,000 this year.
And then you list, and you can save on CDs, medical expenses, food, you know, because you're killing your children, you know? And I just thought, it's funny. It's sick and it's twisted, and you can present that as I'm outraged. I'm absolutely outraged at this. Or you can present it as just look at this. And I think that it's really great the way that you've done things like that.
Thanks very much.
Now, my question for you here is that aren't you afraid that this is really just going to appeal to the people who are already on your side and the people on the other side are just going to say, that's just more propaganda from the other side?
Well, we really try and not fall along typical, party lines or we really try and address the issue from a fresh vantage point, and we employ pop culture, as you kind of pointed out before, to kind of cut across these lines and speak to everyone. And that's where we get to actually speak to everybody because, we do a spoof on The Matrix, or we did a spoof called Star Wars, where we're spoofing Star Wars. And these are extremely popular popular culture phenomena, and we're, kind of working with that. So everyone who likes Star Wars passes this thing around. And it does get outside the circle. You're not just preaching to the choir, because that's the problem with a lot of cause-related nonprofit marketing and internet marketing around causes, is that they send it out to that initial list, and then it only goes to those people who just signed up to save the whales and their friends, and then it stops.
Well, I haven't seen the Star Wars one. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Today our guest is Lewis Fox. Lewis is the creative director of a very interesting media company called Free Range Graphics, and they are responsible for the animated short called The Matrix and many other message-oriented animated graphics that are absolutely amusing. The Matrix has been seen by over 10 million people at this point, which is pretty huge. Louis, you have the Matrix 2 coming out, I understand?
Yes, Matrix. I'm actually recording the voices for it tonight.
Uh-huh.
In fact, as soon as I get off the phone here, I'm going to go over and do that.
That's great. Could I be the pig?
Sure.
No, he's lying. You can't be the pig.
Work that into the story somehow.
So, I mean, are things great for your company now that you've had such wild success? I mean, the Internet is an unusual thing. You know, people are having trouble with the metrics of figuring out, you know, we podcast to tens of thousands of people. But that's a relatively new thing. Mm-hmm. Are your clients very happy with the way your message is getting across?
Yes, yes. Clients are very happy. We're getting a lot of requests to duplicate the magic of the Matrix and having things go, you know, bona fide viral. But it's not that easy to do. We've done it a few times. We just recently did it with Store Wars, which is at storewars.org.
You were going to tell us a little bit about that story.
Sure, and that's pretty much our second biggest success. It's probably going to surpass the Matrix in hits.
And what's it about? What's the theme?
Well, it's a spoof on Star Wars, but it's actually, the real name of it is Grocery Store Wars. Even though it's at storewars.org.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically about the fight between organic produce, organic foods, against conventionally farmed foods. And the organic rebellion, the organic rebel alliance is fighting the dark side of the farm.
I gotta know who plays Darth Vader.
Darth Vader is played by a potato named Darth Tater.
Darth Tater.
Nice.
And Cuke Skywalker is the man along with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're beautiful, man.
Thanks. And this one's not a cartoon. This is actually, we did it with puppets, with vegetable puppets. Puppets we made out of actual vegetables.
Yeah, and everybody has those laying around the house, those vegetable puppets.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
you might have them in a box somewhere in the basement. Break them out.
Sometimes you have to make your own.
Now, do you ever do work for private companies, or is it always cause-based?
No, we do work for private companies, but again, the companies that we work for, we feel, have to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations are responsible private companies in that their business practices, their ecological impact is considered, and that they're doing something. They're offering an alternative to poison culture in some way. So whether they're a nonprofit or whether they're for-profit, we still feel like they need to fit into a solution of some kind for us to work with them.
Wow, that's pretty extraordinary. Well, our guest today is Louis Fox. He's the creative director of Free Range Graphics, which is responsible for the Matrix, which you may have seen, and which you can find on our website. If you haven't seen, which is restaurantguysradio.com, you can check out their new video, www.storewars.org, which sounds pretty funny. We're going to go check it out in a minute. And, Louis, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Thanks very much,
sure.
Louis.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Keep making those great little shorts. I love them.
Thanks very much. I will. All right. Have a good night.
That's Louis Fox. He's gone off to work on The Matrix 2.
That's right. He's gonna, as we speak.
Funny, funny dude. I have to say, whether you agree with the politics of all this stuff or you
don't. And I don't agree with all the politics in all their videos. I mean, I truly don't. But I think he's doing an important thing in a really interesting forum and spreading his word in a way to combat the way big business spreads their word, which is in commercials and places where, you know, you're forced to look at them.
You know, but they work for some organizations, and they've done some work for PETA, and I think PETA is an organization that I disagree with,
right,
that has some good points, but I disagree with more often than I agree with. But it's not a matter of do I agree with everything he says, because I don't. But I agree with a lot of what he says, especially what he says about food and agribusiness and sustainable agriculture. But the point is, whether you agree or not, it's refreshing to have something done through humor that's not stupid,
right,
and it's serious, and it's not the echo chamber. I mean, we listen to Air America Radio, we listen to Rush Limbaugh. Generally, if we already agree with those points of view,
right,
this sort of thing, it's funny. I'll send it to my friends, regardless of their political persuasion, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. And, you know, it creates at least an exchange of ideas among people who may not agree. And I think that's really, really important.
What I said to him earlier was I don't feel like I'm being scolded when I'm watching the videos. Even if I disagree, I don't feel like I'm being scolded.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. Today we had Lewis Fox, creator of Free Range Graphics, who created a video on the web that you may have seen called The Meatrix, which you can go onto our website at restaurantguysradio.com and take a look at, as well as a bunch of their other videos. And he has in store for us now at StoreWars.org a new video, a spoof on Star Wars, which I thought was kind of a neat thing.
And back at any of these websites, these Flash animations, you can go back to the original site that's their site. You can click back mm-hmm. to the creator site, which is FreeRangeStudios.com, and they're just funny, man.
Yeah.
They're just funny.
They're enjoyable. Even if you disagree with the politics, they're fun to watch.
You know, one of the things that was interesting, speaking of politics, we had on the show about a month ago the governor of South Dakota.
Governor Mike Rounds.
Governor Mike Rounds. And in South Dakota, they're doing a very interesting thing. They're creating their own brand of beef, which is South Dakota certified beef. And if you want to be certified South Dakota beef, you have to follow their very strict rules. It has to be bred in-state, and it's grass-fed beef, mm-hmm. Which is really healthy for you. I mean, it's as healthy
for you. Well, it's not all grass-fed. Some of it's corn-finished.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the beef is it's supposed to be really top-notch stuff.
Right, and organically produced, and the feed is got no cow's milk in it, and so or cow's
no cow protein.
I'm sorry, cow protein.
No animal protein.
And it's just they're doing things the right way, and the idea there is that they're going to create a better product, call it South Dakota beef, and we're going to go out there and buy it. Now, Governor Rounds unfortunately had to freeze some of the beef that he sent to us because their program is just a fledgling program. But I'll tell you, the beef we got, especially when you consider that it was frozen, was really very high quality, and he should be very proud of the job he's doing.
And grass-fed beef overall, I think, is a great thing for people to look for. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we need to do is support producers of organic beef and grass-fed beef, and we need to pressure them as well to say, listen, we need to have fresh organic beef.
Yep.
We need to have fresh grass-fed beef. Because the frozen stuff it's just not the same quality.
Right.
And
you're missing a whole market segment.
And the problem is when you're talking about beef, you really need the economies of scale to be able to slaughter and distribute. And so we need to support our producers of grass-fed beef, and we need to really support organic beef as well, especially with the specter of mad cow disease out there looming. You spent another hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, the time is 12 noon.